Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast, looking at sunny skies today, we'll have a high near 75 degrees. Temperatures around southeast Wisconsin at this hour. We start things out in Kenosha. We are looking at a reading of 49 degrees. It is also 49 in Burlington, 55 in Milwaukee, 53 degrees in Racine. The jurors in the Fond du Lac County trial of Kenosha's Dennis Brantner, the truck driver accused of killing Sturtevant's Barrett Beck in 1990, will resume deliberations today after telling the judge yesterday afternoon they were deadlocked. Brantner accused of first-degree murder linked to the teen's death through fingerprints found in her van. Jurors sent a note to the judge yesterday afternoon and said they were not able to agree if Brantner was guilty or not guilty. Then they asked to listen to sections of an interview police did with Brantner again. Late in the afternoon, the judge sent the jury home, telling them, return this morning, try again to reach a unanimous verdict. Barrett Beck, of course, disappearing while on her way to a seminar, her body found near Waupun almost a month after that. A couple of West Allis residents reportedly admitting that they killed a pregnant woman and dumped her body in South Dakota. Court documents indicate Tiffany Simmons and Shanta Pearson confessed to killing Tess White in May. They were arrested in Colorado, telling police they tried burning White's body in Minnesota before succeeding with that, then dumping the remains in a South Dakota field. The FBI, meanwhile, adding 24-year-old Milwaukee resident Shanika Moore to its 10 most wanted list for allegedly killing a pregnant woman at her and her unborn child in March after an argument over loud music. There's a $100,000 reward being offered for minors' capture and conviction. The upcoming holiday weekend, a reason to remind parents, watch your kids carefully around water, be it a pool, a lake, or the ocean. Kate Carr with Safe Kids Worldwide says a new report paints a very scary picture when it comes to summer drownings.
Almost 800 kids drown every year, and more than half of them are under the age of five. And no surprise, two-thirds of the fatalities occur in 4 months, May, June, July, and August.
Kids under the age of five, the most at risk for drowning. The study suggesting parents falsely believe they'd be able to hear their child in a potential drowning situation and could quickly help. Carr says children less than 1 year old more likely to drown in a bathroom or even a bucket of water. 10 to 17-year-olds who drown, she says they often know how to swim. The Fox River in both the town and the village of Waterford is very important to both communities, but officials there are having a tough time these days dealing with proposals to dredge the river and draw down the level, not to mention the recent decision about Waukesha's water situation. At last night's Racine County Board meeting, Supervisor Tom Hintz, who's also Waterford's town chairman, said the approval of Waukesha's water diversion plan was an extreme disappointment given what he had been told by officials up until that vote was taken.
I was given all kinds of assurances months ago that there's no way it's going to happen. It will reduce the water flow to the Pike River and our water at least 11%. There are indications that the walleyes and the northern pikes could be extinct because of the temperatures.
He mentioned a heavily attended Monday meeting on the Waterford Waterway Management District's 12-year attempt at permits for river dredging and material placement in town wetland areas. And with the state claiming no available funding for dredging, Hinn said the move to have the waterway's residents pay for the dredging is, in his word, absurd, while any drawdown of the river will also hurt. Racine County is continuing to move forward on the possible sale of the Ridgewood Care Center to a private operator, now has a broker to do the work over the next few months. County Board Chairman Rusty Clark informing supervisors Ray Giannini from Marcus Milchap Real Estate Investment Services in Milwaukee has been picked to help the county determine what happens next with the nursing home.
And I am in the process of coordinating a meeting with executive and health and human development committees to discuss the project. The county executive and I wish to use that meeting date to provide the list of conditions that we think should be included in our letter of intent that solicits offers.
Clark said that soon-to-be-scheduled joint committee meeting will update everybody on what's going on and what the county wants out of this process. Ray Giannini is the same broker the county initially approached for general information about possibly selling Ridgewood. Corporation Counsel John Lehman says Giannini brings a wealth of experience and the starting point for any offers would be $10 million. Racine County officials might be getting together right after the holiday next week in an executive session with an unnamed developer on a potentially unknown project somewhere in the county. County Board told by County Executive Jonathan Delagrave about the need to move fairly quick on the possible meeting with this developer. He offered no other details about the situation, and when pressed by WRJN News about it, he smiled and walked away, but later did have a conversation with County Board Chairman Rusty Clark. Work scheduled to begin next week on another road reconstruction project affecting Racine County. This one will cover about 7 miles of Highway 36 from Highway Y in the West End to Highway 100 in Milwaukee County. Some of the road is going to be reconstructed, other areas patched and resurfaced. Long-term single-lane closures will be in place in both directions. Some congestion is expected. It's a $4.1 million project to begin next Tuesday and be completed by the fall. Meanwhile, work on a section of Highway 11 in Union Grove, also scheduled to begin next week. And take note that the Racine Social Security Office on Durand Avenue on the city's far southwest side is going to be closed through the end of the week for what's described as a facilities issue. The office is scheduled to reopen after the 4th of July holiday next Tuesday, July the 5th. A passenger in a car involved in an accident last Saturday morning in Racine died of her injuries this week. The woman, 29-year-old Lakeisha Price, one of three people seriously hurt with that single-vehicle crash in the 1100 block of Marquette Street. Police indicate the car hit an electric pole. All three were taken up to Frederick Hospital. The woman died on Monday. The accident remains under investigation. S.E. Johnson Chairman and CEO Fisk Johnson going to be among the participants in a roundtable discussion this morning on the measures that ought to be taken to best protect the nation from the Zika virus. The discussion in Washington to be led by Senate Homeland Security Chairman Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Ranking Member Senator Tim Carpenter of Delaware. Other panel members include Professor David O'Connor from UW-Madison, the Deputy Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and representatives of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the American Mosquito Control Association. Construction of the second Habitat for Humanity house that's going up on Meat Street in Mount Pleasant has been delayed because of some problems discovered underground. The extra funding to fix the issues, though, has been covered. Habitat for Humanity's executive director, Leanne Lowenstein, says that they knew the house being built at 2231 Meat Street was on the site of the old Adams Hotel. That was taken down back in the 70s. But she says they were surprised by what they found during the excavation for the basement.
So we were expecting to have what I'll call construction rubble, but not anything beyond that. And we were surprised that the construction rubble was the type that it was. And on top of it, there was a fuel oil tank that had leaked a little bit of oil into the soil. And once that happens, you need to remediate the soil. So the project went immediately to a much more costly project.
$40,000 to $50,000 more. She says S.E. Johnson CEO Fisk Johnson, after learning of that problem, donated the full amount needed to remediate the soil, but the project has now been delayed for several weeks. Volunteers scheduled to begin work at the site next week. She says more volunteers are always welcome. The second Habitat house is being built between the first one and the COP house on Meat Street in Mount Pleasant. After a successful raffle paid for the Sturtevant fireworks that will be lighting up the sky Sunday evening, village officials say they want to do it again, but they're having a tough time deciding on an exact format. They skipped the display, of course, last year. Raffle tickets were then sold for $100. Even though not all 300 tickets were sold, that did raise enough money to cover the $15,000 prize and to pay for the fireworks this year. Trustees now looking at offering multiple prizes, even doubling the number of tickets sold, lowering the price to $50 each. Last night at the continuous committee meetings, Village President Steve Jansen said he feels the top prize ought to remain high to generate interest.
When people play the lottery, I don't play the lottery, but when do you usually play the lottery? When the number's higher.
When it's big, yep.
You know, people like the larger number. That's why I think 10K does give a pop to it.
Village Administrator Mary Cole urging the trustees talk to residents during the weekend's display and gauge their interest. A decision on how the raffle will be operated will probably take a few more weeks to hash out. Meanwhile, a scheduled presentation on the possible disc golf course at the Hiawatha Ponds area in Sturtevant, that's been put off now for at least a couple of more weeks. A local disc golf group proposing that development, but members unable to get a proposal together in time for last night's meeting. Residents of the Racine Zoo, some new residents, now ready to show their stripes, if you will. Two Hartman's Mountain Zebras are set to be going on display. We get more on that from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
The one-year-old males actually arrived at the zoo about a month ago, but have been in quarantine routine for new animals. The new zebra exhibit is part of the Charles and Jennifer Johnson Land of the Giants on the north end of the zoo, near the Maasai Giraffe and Black Rhino exhibits. Zoo Executive Director Beth Heidorn says it's wonderful to have the zebras back at the zoo. She said they're adjusting to their new home and are very curious about their new surroundings. Hartman's mountain zebras are native to the dry, stony mountains and semi-deserts of southwest Africa. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
WRJN newscasts are in podcast form on our webpage. Go to WRJN.com, look in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.